Justin says I look like him.
You know, you're not fat.
I know, Buscemi's skinny. He's not saying I'm fat. I'm a fat Buscemi.
He's saying he has the same characteristics, but he rocks that same costume. He's like, you are a fat Buscemi.
No, Fafa Shemi.
Oh, yeah.
Fafa Shemi. No, Fafa Sushi.
Fafa Shemi.
He's got it right. He said it better. Because in Maori culture, right, that the last person born of the family group, whether boy or girl, you have to be a girl. And if you're a boy, it's called Fafafini, and you're going to be a fucking dress up.
You have to dress up like a girl because they need a daughter. So it's their culture.
It's their culture. Like, they have to be like,
they don't like castrate them or anything.
No, but they treat them like a woman.
They're hookers. They're hooker chicks on K Road, like gnarly fucking Maori freakers are like, you're like, I'm a fucking girl.
They dress them up like girls and stuff.
But yeah, it's Polynesian.
But you don't know who Steve Buscemi is?
I feel like if I... No, I know.
Steve Buscemi, he's a reservoir dog. He's always skinny, bugged eye, and fucking like the stupid skinny.
We're gonna Google him right now.
Yeah, we...
He's like the best looking dude. He's not Christopher Walken.
He's in Big Lebowski, for fuck's sake. Fucking
then.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
You got it?
I look more like Paul McCartney.
He's on the bed too.
Yes.
Pick up yourself.
That's what people tell me. You're the first Buscemi.
Papa Jimmy. Papa Jimmy.
You can run that and say,
I've heard it so many times. Gwen and Sally went to see Paul McCartney and texted me, this guy looks just like you.
Buscemi has like a fucked up.
Buscemi's got weird teeth and he's way more pale than I.
No, he's more gray than I.
Why did it go to America Stay Gold when I typed in Steve Buscemi?
You fucking act like Buscemi too. You're like Donnie. Shut up. Thank you, girl.
I'm waiting for some lines. What are my lines here?
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. That's your line.
Shut the fuck up, Dolan.
Here we go.
Look at that one. That's me for sure, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, whoa. Maybe it's the receding hairline.
Maybe it's your face.
Is it my face? Look at that. That's me. Hey, there we go. What's up? It's Schmitty. This is Talking Schmidt, and we're at Platypus. Today on the show, Dustin Dolan.
Hi.
What do you think of Dustin Dolan?
Are you filming me or the Shanahan Powerboard?
I'm filming you.
I feel like I didn't shave completely. It's awkward.
You know anything about Dustin Dolan?
I do not. I've never even been to Australia.
Well, then check this out, because we're going to get to know him.
Hello, this is Dustin Dolan, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt with Schmitty and me.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old cause turn.
All big dogs in.
Schmitty.
96 times, Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
We on? Schmitty.
Talking Schmidt.
That's called going to the hospital, bitch.
I be shit my pants, man.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
About the one.
Who is this guy? Thinks he's tough shit.
What's up?
We're tastemakers.
Come on, Schmitty. What the fuck?
Let's hear it for Greg Smith. Yeah!
All right. Here we go. Okay, podcast world, listen up. I'm really hyped today with the combination of my Rolodex and Zoom. You never know where I'm going to end up. And today we're in Paris, France, with the guy Greco named the Devil Spawn. This is my buddy, Dustin Dolan.
Howdy, folks.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Whatever time it is there.
Baguette. Me and Burnett would go down the streets of Paris and say, pan de chocolate. That was all our French.
Yeah, they're good, pan chocolate.
I love those things.
Wow.
Hey, before we get started, we got to explain that opening clip.
Oh, the one that I sent you the other night. It was crazy because I had it on my desktop because I was like saving all the best like unseen Phelps footage and shit like that.
Oh, right.
But I think we were in Mammoth and we were cooked as fuck. Like we were on a Volcom trip or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on? Why were we there? Yeah, welcome.
It was a skate park roundup, and I think Mammoth, it was right when the park opened.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. We were there for the opening, and I remember I was sleeping on a dead kid that they named the skate park after his bed. I was in his bed with, like, a life-size stuffed animal. It was, like, the size of me, and I was like, oh, and the second day, they're like, oh, you know the bed you're sleeping in? I was like, yeah. They're like, that's the guy they named the skate park after. He's dead. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, sketchy. Yeah. Dead man's grave, huh? But why was there a big stuffed animal in there? Were you trying to have sex with it?
Dude, I was hugging that thing. I kind of wanted to take it home with me.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think your internet's fucked because of the election.
Yeah, it the internet, Trump's fucking.
Everyone's staring at their stupid screen, looking at something. Anyway, I don't want to talk about your fucking election, but congratulations, it looks like.
To somebody.
Hey, I can maybe come back to the States after this, you know?
Oh, are you not able to?
No, I am. I just didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. Of course. No, but that clip was at a restaurant that Jake took us to meet, like, some friend of his.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird situation, but we ate some goddamn good food right there at that counter. It was nice. It was a good break from the squad, from the goon squad, for sure. Remember, we just sat by the bar and we just got drunk and ate that nice dinner? Didn't even feel it. We felt like we were on vacation, not even on fucking tour or nothing.
Yeah, there was a lot of red wine. I remember that. But, like, do you still think I look like Buscemi? I never got that part.
A little bit. You can see a resemblance. Young Buscemi. Not now. He's real skinny. He looks like he's dying and shit.
Damn. Yeah, the other thing I remember about that, too, was I think you introduced to me Skype.
Oh,
like,
maybe.
We got late night Skype with, like, somebody in Australia, maybe. Like, we were drunk Skyping people, and you were like, we're partying. And, like, there was people, like, on the other side of the globe, and I was like, this is mental. I had never seen it before. It was, like, 2008 or 9 or something.
Look at you now. We're basically doing a Skype interview.
Yeah, now we're Skype podcasting.
No, but it's funny. I've always somehow been a little ahead. Like, I always had, like, the iPod before people, and, like, I don't know. I think, like, Kenny Hughes or something, like, she told me to get an iPod, and I had all his music in, like, Barcelona. Uh-huh. I don't know. I've always kind of seemed to – I'm not very good with technology. It never fucking works when I need it to, but for some reason I always, like, somehow as an old man managed to stay on point with that shit, like, you know, upgrading from Final Cut to Premiere and all that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, because you've always been filming and editing and stuff all along with skating.
Yeah, true.
So your interests are tech, like, oh shit, you can do this? What the fuck? I got to get that. That's what my brain's drawn to. It's like, new iPhone? Wait, there's a fisheye? Fuck, I need it.
Yeah. I just got that iPhone 12 or whatever it is. That's only because my phone got stolen. I got mugged in the streets. But
no way.
It was all good. Just some punk kids.
So what's been going on? Are you doing your own podcast?
I mean, I've been trying to do this thing called Tamp to all my friends, and it's not interviewing skaters. It's just, like, I've met a lot of pretty interesting characters besides, like, skaters, you know, over my weird life, like, creation of vacation, and I don't know, it's been all over the place. So I've just, been interviewing some musicians, some weird, like, designers, and you know, just weird people that I got along with along the way. I've just basically went and filmed it, like, with two cameramen, and just been starting to edit it, actually.
How many have you done?
Done 6, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did one with Warren Ellis from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. He lives in Paris, which is great. We've, like, become, like, message buddies. He's a great bloke from Melbourne. This one with this girl, Michelle Lamy, she's Rick Owens' wife. She's kind of, like, she has, like, tattooed fingers and, like, gold teeth. She's, like, 78 years old or something. She's cool as fuck. And then I did this kind of this bum off the street, like, this crazy old man that walks around. But I found out that he was actually, like, a great musician back in the day. He's completely out of his mind. That was insane. And then this guy from this band called La Femme. And then Also, who else did I do? Oh, Olivia Zahn from Purple Fashion Magazine. Just strange characters, you know?
Rad.
But I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just like, if I film it and edit it, maybe I can like sell it to like, you know, whoever, Spotify or something, or Apple iTunes movies and music or something. Just a little side project, you know.
All these media companies are fucking battling for content, so it's time to step up and be like, here you go, bro. Pay me.
And I figure if I give it to them already pretty much edited, then they can't fuck with it too much. That's the main thing, is they can just grab shit and make it fucking some cheesy shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, besides that, just being like, kind of got a new squad out of here now in Europe, like the Vans, Tom's Tale squad, they kind of like the new Euro Piss Drunks kind of style crew. Still like hungry kids, you know, not like spoiled pros like we were at some point in Hollywood or whatever, you know?
Right.
They're still hungry, still ready to camp and fucking just terrorize, you know? It's sick.
Yeah, there's lots of spots out there, right?
In Europe? I mean, yeah, it's like I could be in like Italy 1 week, Greece the next week, like whatever the fuck, you know? That's the difference. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't move back to Australia. It's too far away because I still want to be involved in the skate world like as much as I am now. Mm. But Europe's just the perfect place. And I mean, I did leave when Trump got into presidency. That was an accident. I'm not really too into politics. I just lucked out on that one.
Okay, yeah, you did.
Seems like chaos over there.
Is it true that you found skateboarding by working at the video store and watching Back to the Future or some shit?
No, Gleaming the Cube.
Gleaming the Cube.
That one's crazy because you know what's crazy about that is it's pretty dark, you know? Like, he's Christian Slater's adopted brother gets hung by some drug dealers and then he, like, gets revenge by jumping over a freeway and knocking the guy out with his skateboard. But I thought it was cool. I mean, you had, like, Rodney, you had, like, this, you know, crazy breakdown sequence where he starts to gleam the cube and they had like stuntmen like Rodney Mullen and Tony Hawk and like all these people. It was funny because he would be goofy at one point and then regular at another point during a little breakdown. But I liked it. I think I was more about the revenge part of it, you know? And skating is always good to get revenge.
So what was the first board that you got? Do you remember?
Well, I mean, you know, like most people, I had like my mom and I would like skate down the hill of our street. I had like a banana board. And then she just had, just an old cruiser probably. But my first pro board was a Wade Spire Slayer graphic Ever Sleep. My grandmother bought that for me when I was like, I think I was like 13 or something.
Huh.
But yeah, Wade Spire Slayer graphic.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and she was a Christian. She was like, why are all this? Because that was at a point where all the graphics were like, you know, you had like the Ever Sleeps were like, you know, blow up dolls and like it was pretty heavy graphics back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those world industry graphics and shit like that. Wow.
Yeah, they stole all the graphics from like other things, and then when skateboarding got popular and people started stealing skateboarding stuff, skateboarding got mad. But it was like, what comes around goes around.
Yeah, true. But I mean, skating was pretty much in a fuck everybody kind of stage right then. Skaters were pests, you know.
Yeah.
The 90s. That's a funny time in skateboarding.
And then meeting Mickey Reyes, was that at Tampa Am?
Yeah, that was at Tampa Am. I think, what would I say? I was 98, I think. I was just 18. My 97, 98. I'm not sure exactly. But yeah, that was great, man. He just, like, I was just skating my little ass off and fucking. He came up and gave me a card, and I saw her on it, like, after I stopped skating to take, a sip of beer or something. I was like, oh, my God. Like, Anti-Hero, Real, Deluxe, Spitfire. I was like, fuck, that's the company that I want to ride for. I wanted to ride for Anti-Hero, actually.
Uh-huh.
But then I think it was, like, too competitive between me and TNT. And I think he won that year, too, actually.
Oh, he did?
Pretty sure, yeah. But I think we were like, we've always been at it. Me and Tony are really good friends, but we always like fight a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
You got, because you were like you were both coming up at the same time. So then you went stereo.
I wasn't
coming
up at all. I was completely unknown. I was just some little maniac from, I think I had shaved cornrows in my head and like, like fuck everybody.
No way.
And then, yeah, Tony was punk and like, he's like, what the fuck's this kid staying in the room or whatever? But eventually we became friends, you know?
Okay. So Tony was already kind of established a little bit?
Yeah. I think that was like, he was just firing it up for real. And yeah, I think Julian didn't like me very much at first too, but we eventually got along.
Oh, okay.
But I was like staying in the flip room with like Blawler and shit. And then Mickey gave me an anti-hero shirt. And then Jeremy Fox was like, so you're going to write for Deluxe? And I was like, oh, I don't know. He just gave me a fucking t-shirt. I'll take anything I can get. And then he's like, well, it looks like you're going to write for Deluxe. I'm like, I would love that. Because he was like thinking he was going to get me on Flip or some shit. And I was like, no. I ended up staying in the Deluxe with Mickey the whole time for the rest of the trip. Sick ass.
Hijinks memory of like one of the tours where you and Mickey were on tour and some one of the crazier ones?
Oh, fuck. I just remember like me and they would go to the bars and me and TNT would have to stay in the car or whatever. So we would just get hammered in the car. Mickey would just leave us a bottle of Jaeger. I remember one time just seeing him running out of a bar. Like it was a pretty big crew. I think it was the Great Lakes tour, Deluxe Worldwide tour or whatever. And it was like Quim Cardona, Cardiel, like Stranger, like it was a massive squad. But I remember Mickey just running out and you just hear the van open up and he's putting wheels into a fucking pillowcase. He just runs back and everyone's trying to run out of the bar and Mickey's just swinging on all these fuckers, like probably put a few of the guys in hospital. But someone obviously pissed off someone at the bar and that was pretty freaky. Like people running behind like zombies, like,
Yeah.
That was
holy shit. I can't even imagine those trips.
But I think I was like fucking 17, 18, and I only had my learner's permit. And like, I think Mickey was so tired of driving that he just like maybe gave me some speed or something. It was like, you gotta drive. And I was like, and it was like full hurricane weather going through. And I was driving, I couldn't see anything. And I've got like legends in the van, like my idols. And I'm like, barely looking over, could barely see over the steering wheel. And I'm like, oh, fuck, Twister, what fuck? And the van's wind's blowing everywhere and shit. Right. And the last thing you want to do is, like, focus the crew, you know?
Yeah. No, the same thing happened to Peabody. He came back. He's like, dude, I had to fucking drive the van, and I got Cardiel in the back. Like, I'm freaking.
Yeah, that shit's wild.
Oh, man. Okay. San Francisco and Newell days.
Yeah. Blur.
Blur. Who was living there at the time? Was Raymond Dede in there? Was no, Frankie?
It was Frank and Errol, this crazy guy, Errol. He had this fucking shitty Dalmatian dog that would always shit all over Frank's bed and Frank would always kick it and shit. I don't think he like would kick it hard, but it was just like so, it was fucking up the house. And Errol was a psycho. He would come in hammered, wake everybody up. I forget that dog's name. Maybe it was Mary or something like that. And then it was me. And then me and John Klein were John Klein was bed mates. We had bunk beds.
Oh, okay.
And then I forget who else was living there. I know it was Frank, me, John Klein, and Errol. And Errol. Yeah, that was it at that point.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually, like, I only really lived there for kind of a year, actually. I mean, I was only in the States for 2 years. Like,
oh, really?
When I got noticed. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I left Australia when I was 17. I came back when I was 19. And I didn't go back to the States for 4 years. Ooh.
Wow. But that's where you met, like, Gabe and everybody was coming out to SF, right?
Errol moved out and John Klein moved out. Then it was me, Frank, and Morfitt at the end before I left, yeah. That was fun.
Okay. Do you got any favorite memories of SF? What's something, were you guys going to that bar that's everyone goes to now that's like two doors down?
Yeah, that one with the pool tables?
Yeah, yeah.
I forget what that place is called. Well, I mean, I was underage, but that would sneak me in, I think.
Oh, you were still, yeah.
Yeah, I was only 17 to 19. I wasn't even legal when I came.
Oh, my God.
Still managed to get drunk a lot, though.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, it was like that. And I was just kind of going in between Warner Avenue and Newell. Because Six Newell was kind of like the piss drunk's house of SF. And everyone was kind of going back and forth between the two.
Were they pretty similar?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But it's crazy. Like, when I think back that I was only there for 2 years, we fucking packed a lot of missions into that 2 years, for sure.
I know. It felt like you were even in SF longer than that.
Nah, not really. Because I was in SF. We stayed at Pastor's house because I got on stereo. And then Errol came over one night and, like, jumped through the front door of the building and, like, smashed all the glass, trashed the house. Then Pastor's was like, dude, you having a party? When I'm like, it wasn't a party. It was mellow drinks. And this guy fucking Errol came over and trashed your house. And I was like, he's like, you got to go. Then I lived with Mickey in bunk beds at the Hells Angels Mechanics house.
Oh.
Some dude named Duncan, and his wife was always yelling at him to try and kill somebody to become a real Hells Angels, because I think he was a prospect. That was pretty trippy.
Wow.
Me and Mickey bunk beds. He'd bring chicks back too. It wasn't like there was a little kid, be quiet. It was like fired up underneath me was an earthquake, you know?
You got to see some good Mickey Reyes moments. The suave, suave on Jaeger Mickey.
Oh, disgusting, Mickey. But he was a sweetheart. He really looked out for me, you know, got me food and shit. You know, I didn't have no money. So
yeah.
Got me that little deluxe paycheck, most money I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, $1,000 a month. What am I doing with this shit, man? I was like, that was crazy.
Fuck.
$1,000 cash. They had to pay me in cash because I didn't have like a work visa or some shit.
Do you remember the Hard Rock Cafe contest in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
I shot a sequence of you kick flipping over the channel in the vert ramp.
Yeah, to death.
Yeah, I think you might have grabbed like
Sean White's board.
Sean White's board, yeah.
I was just in the crowd, like, getting psyched, and I was like, I'm going to kickflip into this fucking vert ramp right now. I think I just grabbed his board, kickflip, catch, and just separate shoulder.
Oh, did it?
In front of, like, you know, 1,000 people.
Dude, that was the fucking funnest one. That's where I met Sipnewski, because he kind of put that shit on. He worked for Boost Mobile. They put that thing on, and then Dave later in life came to work for us at Thrasher and started doing the skate rock trips and all that stuff. But dude, me and Greco got all the fucking Linkin Park was doing a concert that night, and they gave us all tickets. And so the skaters didn't want them. So me and Jim went to everyone and were like, do you want your ticket? No, took them. Yeah. We sold them all, and then we got all this money and just went straight to gamble all night.
Like, yeah.
Fucking free money, free gambling. Like, I'm not really a gambler unless it's free.
I think there was another contest and Nelly was playing out, and I sold, like, they gave me like 4 tickets and I sold 3 of them, and I wore a Band-Aid to the Nelly contest.
Yeah, I remember. That was either the night before or night after. It was like Nelly one night, Linkin Park the next night. And then TNT, I think, won, and Max won the vert.
Yeah, TNT won that fucking thing. They got a boat. I think it was like $70,000 or some shit.
Dude, so much money. Yeah, that was a high.
I think that was like a deposit for his house or some shit like that.
Right. Yeah.
Then I heard like people like in SF would be like fronting on Tony and shit, be like, yo, fuck, whatever, you got this house from skating and shit. And it's like, dude, he fucking earned that shit, you know? I heard some horror stories over there. Poor TNT people bashing on his door at like 5 a.m. and shit. Like, let me in. It's like, dude, I got kids. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I got to take it easy on the boys up there, huh?
Well, you live the anti-hero life, and then it comes back to, you know, it's kind of like what I was telling Felper. He, like, all of a sudden, he wanted to go out as the nice guy. I was like, dude, you lived your whole life as an asshole. You can't, like, all of a sudden have, like, turn it around on the last home stretch.
He was doing pretty good at him there. He seemed a bit more at peace, you know?
No, for sure. He, like, I told people, like, I saw the evolution of, like, the scariest, like, I was afraid to be in the same room to him as, like, now I'm, like, in the hotel room sleeping with him. You know, it's, like, insane.
He's kind of bipolar as fuck, that guy.
Yeah. Do you remember meeting him for the first time?
Fuck. I think when I went up to SF, I remember I I took a car up with Patrick O'Dell and some other dude, Tim Van Horn, the first gay skater that they kicked off Birdhouse for being gay or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then they dropped me off at EMB, and I just, there was a fucking ice skating rink in the middle of it. It was freezing, it's cold. I didn't have a mobile phone, that was before mobile phones, and I just waited like 5 hours for Mickey to come pick me up. And then he took me straight to a bar. I'm like the littlest fucking like 18-year-old you ever seen. Just gets me hammered. Go to some girl's house. He's like having sex with a chick with the door open, like laughing at me or whatever. And then I think the next day he took me to High Speed to meet the old Felbert. And I think he was trying to be a cunt to me, but I was kind of a cunt back straight away because I'm Australian and like from pretty like ghetto life anyway. And he was just kind of like, you know. But I think we went and ate, and he was just like asking Felper questions to try and like tell you what he knows about everything, pretty much, because he knew about everything.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mickey vouched, so he pretty much didn't give me much of a hard time. So.
Huh.
Mickey had me under his wing. It was like protection from everybody in that place.
Yeah. Did you meet Fausto?
Yeah, I met Fausto.
On that same trip on that.
Yeah. Okay. He told me to meet everyone the first day. I was at the Deluxe. He's like, grab whatever you want. I was like, really? Like, oh my God. And then, they like show me, sponsor me tapes of some kids. For like, and I was like, oh, it's not really my choice. And they're like, you're on the team, you know, like you got to start fucking doing this shit. But I met Fausto. He was a true gentleman. And then me and Tony Vitello got along. We were like kind of, he was a bit younger than me, but we kind of got along, had some drinks at some point, underage style.
Yeah.
And me and Tony got along really well. And the rest is pretty much fucking history, you know? I have some memories of like all I can always remember is just going with Morphid to any session possible and just always listening to this Gil Scott Heron Winter in America. Like, I always made him play that. He's like, why don't you listen to all that? I'm like, I really like it.
All from the Indians. Welcome to pilgrims and to the buffaloes who once ruled a plain. Like the vultures circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the city that stagger on the coastline, in a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. Winter in America. Yes, and all of the hillers have been killed. Sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter.
You know, the fog, Viking sandwiches, the Presidio rail, you know, that's...
Presidio rail.
That's my training ground. I used to go, everyone was at work, Frankie was valet parking, John Klein was painting houses. I'd just go get a Viking sandwich and skate Presidio by myself. That's how I learned how to skate rails, on that one.
That thing was so good. It was just small and like right had there where you're never going to get kicked out.
Yeah, I had my piece of wood set up in the bush, you know, and just like... train on that bitch. And then it was cool because people would rock up. I didn't have anyone's number. I didn't have a mobile phone. So just like, you know, back then you're just living it by yourself, really, you know?
I asked for some questions from like Instagram followers.
What's up, it's Losco. I had a question for Dustin Dahlin. And I was wondering like, what was his favorite memories of skating with Shane Cross? Rest in peace. Peace.
I mean, skating with Shane, I think he was doing most of the skating at those points. he was a beast.
Yeah.
But definitely the best time I think I have had was when we were on mushrooms at Skatopia. Like, I did do a 7-day weekend about that whole night, but we were cooked, man. We taking all these chocolate mushrooms and I think it was like, I don't think it was his first experience of mushrooms, because him and his friends have always been into psychedelics back in on the coast and shit. But we definitely think a lot that night. We were wandering around into all the little dark background rooms with the mattresses and the bondage kits. It's creepy as fuck. And that's scary, Skatopia, when you're on mushrooms. But we just kept getting lost and laughing and running around. That was real fun.
Yeah, describe Skatopia. I've never been there, but I've seen, like, you know, the fires and the cars and all that shit. It's pretty, like, distinguished.
I would just say it's like the Thunderdome, you know, like Mad Max or some shit. Like, just like a bunch of rednecks. Like, but they're kind of smart, you know. They got good ways of freaking you out and shit. Uh-huh. I remember, like, first it's like, jump in the car, you're coming with me. And then you jump in a car and you just think you're on smashing through trees, going on this rally and shit, full speed, tripping balls.
Yeah.
You would see, like, out of the glimmering eye, like someone with a torch, because it doesn't look like you knew where you were going, but you'd see, like, turn here. Like, they had it set up. It's like, what is that? You know those shows where they make you think that, like, bad shit's, like The Purge or some shit like that.
Okay.
You know, where they make you think all this bad shit's happening and people are yelling at you to fuck with your trip even more, you know, to make you, like, really fucked up. But it's fucking scary. You get to a point where you're, like, you're losing it, and you're like, I'm fucking scared for my life. But you realize that it's only good fun, you know. It's kind of a show.
Is it, like, an initiation for people that have never been there?
I think that was, yeah, at that point, for sure.
Okay. But was Bruce there?
Yeah, Bruce was there. That was one of the best times, actually. I remember I was, like, after all the fucking road rage and shit like that, I just woke up and I was like, came out of the trip and I was like, I was sitting on this seat and there was these family of, like, Indian, like, Native Americans, like chanting to their kid, who was also next to me, that had sunglasses on. And I was like, ooh, and I was like, all right, I'm really tripping right now. I just come out of the trip, you know, like, and I look and I see the fucking barn with the bowl so far up, so far away, I must have just wandered off, like I do sometimes. And I get there and it's fucking probably about 6 in the morning. The sun was just coming up and it's me and Bill Danforth. That's it. How weird is that, huh? That's 6 in the morning. One. He's just in there, no shirt. I don't think he even had shoes on, just like, it's fuck, carving, like trying to carve the bowl. I was doing the same.
No.
And just trying to find the tent and also trying to find, doing the peace stone mission and trying to find, like, the warm beers in the morning all around the tents and shit like that. Yeah.
I got this one in my camera bag underneath the special flap.
We went hand in hand with that one because he always knew that I would stash beers too.
Okay.
I know you got some beers somewhere, but come on, little dog. Come on, you got this. Yeah. I know you got beers hidden somewhere. I'm like, I fucking do, peace though. He's the best.
It was so good because we would catch on to his hiding spots and then we would take him before he woke up and move him somewhere. And he'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa.
He probably woke up when you were moving him, huh?
Yeah, you couldn't really put one past him usually. He was fucking the best. I miss that guy so much.
Yeah.
You've taken a lot of horrendous slams. Is there one that's, like, sticks out as, like, the gnarliest one you've taken?
I don't know. They all feel pretty shit. But I'd say that, I mean, the knockout in Sydney was probably the good one. That lip slide to knockout on that indie trip. Claiming hard. One try, slipped out. Next try, complete stuck. I think the wind on the way, it's kind of a wind tunnel there. I think I lost my speed. And then when I went to pop, it just completely stuck. But the KO, I mean, it didn't really hurt me. You just get knocked out, you know. But painful-wise, I don't know. Every time that you tear your ACL, it's the worst. Because, you know, it's like 9 months. You're just like, you feel it and you're like, oh, it's gone. It hurt. It broke.
Like instantly, you know it, right?
Yeah, you know it straight away. After you've done the first one, you know what it feels like. You're like, oh, there it goes. You're like,
How many have you done?
7.
7?
Yeah.
On both knees or mostly?
No, one knee. Same knee.
Same knee.
That's why when you look at, like, maybe Baker has a death wish or something like that. I'm doing all my tricks to fake it. That's the technique.
Ah.
When you're getting better on the front knee, you got to land all your tricks to fakies.
Okay.
But no, I had six reconstructions, and now I just don't think I have an ACL in there at all. Like, they did like everything, grafts, fake. I had two of those fake ligaments, the Lars ligament. I like to call them the SARS ligament because they really didn't work. And I think when I broke the fourth Lars, the synthetic, the chick made me sign something when I was kind of drugged out already. So I'm pretty sure it was something to say that I didn't break it because they didn't want it to get out that it's breakable, because I think I was the first person in Australia to break it, or in the world maybe to even break one in half. But what's crazy is I feel fine right now.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Like, absolutely fine. I just flew to Italy for a trick, jumping off something big, and absolutely.
Like, when you wake up in the morning, you're not like, I have to do this whole like half hour routine to like straighten my body up.
No, I'm pretty much jump up and go kind of
Damn, that rules.
I get sore, but I still get my massages like a few months or whatever, and concentrate on that shit, you know.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of your money getting fucked up and fucking up your body, but you got to spend some of that money getting better too.
Yeah, I've been doing we got this Alyssa's got this homie that does pretty good like sports chiropractic work.
Yeah,
and he takes care of me. It's so good, like, but I gotta do it more often because
an old Schmitty.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know. I know you've said it, probably told the story a bunch, but can we like talk about the piss drunks and how it evolved?
Sure. I mean, the way I see it, I mean, everyone kind of has a hazy way of like how it came about. But for me, basically, like, I think I got back, I was in SF for a while, and I got back to Warner, and Jim and Ali had been in Arizona. I think Shane had taken him there. They were getting cooked out there with like Randy Colvin or something like that. And I guess like basically Biggie said piss drunks in one of the songs.
Can we just all get along so I can put hickeys on a chest like little Sean? Get a pissy drunk, get a pissy drunk, get a pissy drunk, pissy drunk, pissy drunk. Get a pissy drunk off a Dom Perignon and it's on and I'm gone.
And then they just started saying we're piss drunks, and then I came back and they were tagging this logo everywhere, and I was like, what's that? And they were like, oh, it's Piss Drunks at that squad. And I was like, am I in the Piss Drunks? And they're like, you're the fucking mascot of the Piss Drunks. So I got it in my head. I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Volcom today and get a bunch of shit to sell, like snowboard shit. And I think I went, and I think Jim drove me to Volcom, and then we got like, gathered up like $300, $400 from Play It Again Sports or some shit, like sold the shit. And then me and Jim went and got the tats, and then Eric got it like the day after, and then I think Andrew got it the day after that. And then the next time when I went back up to SF, I went to Deluxe and I got the t-shirts made. So Deluxe actually made the first Piss Drunk shirt.
No way.
Yeah. They made like 30 of them, and I gave them to all the crew. And that's what the ones that you see in like the early America Ellington wearing and shit.
So
before that, they're making homemade ones, but that was the first ones I think printed.
Rad, dude. Was the original was you, Greco, Reynolds, Ellington, and Ollie, or no?
No, Piercy. It was like Piercy. Aaron Piercy, he used to ride for Balance. He's like kind of the father of the Piss Drunks because he took care of Ollie and Jim when they were doing who knows what in Arizona. And I think it just kind of like escalated. You know, it only really it's lasted forever now. I mean, there's thousands of kids with tattoos and, you know, I still make the gear for like true fans and shit. But it really was like, I think the longest of the drunks was probably like who drank the longest out of all of the crew besides me. I think Ellington was kind of the last to quit drinking because he had to, because he had that courtship or whatever. And maybe because it's better for him. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, like Shane fizzled out. He had to go to rehab. And then Andrew, Jim, but it's not really like it's not about like, for me, it was never about like drinking and then getting drugs and getting more and more and more fucked up. It's just like, we drink, we skate. And I'm used to it. I'm Australian. So I've been doing that my whole life. But I think for maybe like Andrew started drinking pretty late, like maybe 18 or 19. And And a lot of the crew kind of started drinking a bit late, I think, you know? But I'd already been drinking since I was like 13 years old. So, and me and Balala had, but I think a lot of it, you know, it was hard. I think also when Ali got kicked out of the country, like went to jail, and then he went back to Sweden, he probably felt like he lost his crew, you know? So he got on drugs in Sweden. Jim had lost Ali, so he got on drugs by himself in the States. And then I think Andrew and Eric were just kind of like living up like rock stars in Hollywood, you know, going to the clubs and getting on it. Just for me, it's like, I'm not the kind of person that drinks and wants to get cocaine. Like, I'll do some if I'm like too drunk, like the line or whatever to like sober up, but it's never been, there's a difference between a drug addict and an alcoholic.
Like the gateway to like this whole gnarly just escapade.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I was in Australia when all that was happening, you know, I've been after Baker 2G came out, everyone was like big time stars, like, you know, Greco's in Rolling Stone and shit. I was still living behind a couch in Australia at that point before Baker started, you know. But I was psyched to see that everyone was living it up. They had their rock star moments, that's for sure. And skating needed some rock stars at that point for sure.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It was the right time in the right place, like Hollywood fucking just doing it. It was insane. Yeah. Crazy
yeah,
shit.
I mean, before that, like I think I'd only been to Hollywood once the first time I was in America.
Oh.
Because we still lived at Warner Avenue, like
in Warner.
So when I left, they moved to Hollywood. That's when I think the real trouble started.
Yeah.
But as I said, I wasn't there. I didn't know what they were getting up to.
Right.
I just hear it secondhand from like Jay Strickland's like, oh, they're all fucked up on drugs. You're the only one skating. Why don't you get on bootleg? And I was like, I'm not. Andrew's looked out for me the whole time. I'm like, what, you know, stay with the boss.
Yeah. Huh. And then how long has the 7-day weekend thing been going?
I mean, I stopped it for ages. Basically, like I did like 30 episodes, but what was cool is I started it before anyone was really doing that shit.
I love the Gravett one.
Yeah, I mean, no one even knows. Half the people I talk to now have never even heard of that. But I think I started in like 2005 or something like that. And I did it for like maybe 4 years or something, 5 years.
Basically, now, you were just bringing a bro cam on the and filming everything and then putting it together, yeah?
It was a Casio. It was this little Casio, like, I think it was, what's his name? Lagerfeld. What was that French designer? Yeah, I don't know. I think he used the same camera. He always used to film shit with that. But it was just by accident that happened. But yeah, I basically just film everything, come back, and not even edit it. I'd go through it to make sure there wasn't any drug content or nudity on it. But pretty much it's just like everyday filming, everything. It's pretty hard to watch a lot of them. Some of them are edited, but now I'm putting together the movie, 7-day weekend, the movie, where I'm actually editing it. So it's like 10 years of filming.
All the stuff you've done and put it into like condense?
Yeah. It's the best though. But it's 5 hours now. I've only edited, it was 7 hours, and I've edited maybe 2 30-minute sections. So I need to do like 7 more. So a lot.
You're shooting for like around 2 hours?
Yeah, two hour YouTube clip.
Wow.
Okay. It will be fun, but it's hard to get around to it because sometimes you're watching like a lot of dead people on the screen and it's like a lot of craziness and like a lot of stuff makes you sad and like, and then all the stuff gives you anxiety and then all the rest of the time makes you want to go drink and get fucked up.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, I want to go out and party.
Yeah, are you kind of I'm guessing that when somebody dear to you dies, do you drink more than normal? Or like, what's your technique for like dealing with like the pain that comes with the loss of like a homie?
I'd say it's usually about like, it used to be like a couple week bender. Now it's kind of tamed. You get so used to death these days in skateboarding and life in general that it's kind of usually like a 2-day bender these days. And then I just pick myself up, you know, I'm not trying to die because a friend dies. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's the thing, right?
And I see people holding on to that shit for a long time. It's like, that's like so bad for your health if you, you hold on to a loved one, you know? It's like, some people never give it up. And it's like, oh man, like, that's not, they don't want to see you destroy your life because they're dead. Like, that shit's bullshit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But
yeah, I just, you know, I have my 2 days of calling people, torturing and being out of my mind. And then I just like, just get it back together. Yeah.
I had a fucking crazy ass dream the other night. It was like full moon. I woke up like in a panic, and my fiance is just like, what's going on? I'm just like, ah. And it was basically Preston was still alive and Jake was dead. And Preston was giving me a pep talk on how to deal with Jake being dead. And it was so real and crazy, right? And I woke up just freaking out, like, whoa. It took me a while to realize it was a dream, all that. Later that day. What's up?
How long ago was that? Because
that was like five days ago.
I went like 3 or 4 days ago with Preston in it. I've been having all these crazy skate dreams with people in it now.
So this is insane. Then later that day, Peabody called me later that day and he's like, dude, I just had the craziest P-Stone and Jake dream. And I was like, what the fuck? It was so weird.
Dude, me too. Really, really recently, like not one in a long time. And then just really like this last week or something like that. It's fucking weird, right?
It was the full moon. And I don't know if people believe in that, but I don't know.
Also, last night I had a dream that I was skating with Gons in SF and we skated and he had this weird glove that made like sparks and fire out of it. So anytime he'd go by a ledge, it would set it on fire. I think it's from watching like Marvel comics, like movies, you know, and he's like, and then we hit this corner and then it turned into Melbourne. And then when I got around the corner, he finished his line and he was walking back and he's like, dude, have you seen those Etch-a-Sketches? They're 3D, right? And there's a 3D Etch-a-Sketch comes into my mind. And then he's like, but it's got a helicopter on it too. And I was like, oh, okay. I always remember my dreams. So it's like crazy.
Have you ever tried to fuck with your dreams? Have you ever tried to like kind of control them?
Yeah, I can, man. I can wake up and go back into dreams too if I want to.
That's cool, man. I've like, done like, ones where like I'm flying and then all of a sudden like I can control my flying. It's weird.
That's sick. Yeah. A lot of like hanging off cliff dreams, like scared of heights, falling kind of shit. Not falling, but like, oh, I'm stuck. I have a lot of crazy dreams. I tell my wife every day, she's like, what the fuck is this shit?
And now a word from our sponsors, and then we shall be right back.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
First Impression with Timothy Donald McKenney.
First impressions of the piss drunk, and literally this guy's been piss drunk since he's about 17, because I think that's when we were in the van together. But First Impression is a trip to LA or down south for some demos, like Tony Hawk demos too. I just fucking ran with my dick between my legs. I ain't skating with those freaks. But anyways, they're killing it. He's like 17 with an 18-pack of Budweiser's in the back of the van driving Chris Pastridge crazy, screaming bloody terror. And I'm just kind of sitting there in shock too, and I'm like still kind of like trying to be hip drinking beer with him, but I can't do shit. I can't hold my liquor. These guys all get out at that Fresno or Visalia skate park, the one where Jesse Pius 180's over the fence. It ain't Sugar Hill, it's that other one over the fence 180. And Ryan Johnson's killing it. Dune's doing frontside grinds on this 13-foot-high extension bowl thing. And Dolan gets out and kickflips to fake you like 8 feet high up this vert wall. And again, I'm sitting there with my dick between my legs. First impression, Dustin can hold his liquor, piss drunk as hell, kickflip to fakies on fucking anything. Love you, dude.
Paris, France, that's where you are. And my only time there, you were there. And we did the Bad Shit Dinosaur Jr. at the museum with the fucking indoor art that Peabody got the cover. Yeah.
That those 2 days that we spent there.
Really?
Weird, right? I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, fuck. But that was sick when they had the mini ramp out front and everyone was just getting hammered and skating the house. And that was a sick goat Bad Shit Dinosaur Jr. show. That was awesome.
Yeah, and it was Atiba and Akko's birthday and they flew out Akko.
That was really, and that room that it was in, that surround, like, remember the walls were like,
oh yeah, well, Preston made the video around the whole walls of like fire and
yeah, it was so sick. The 3D like party room was fucking chaos. It was so fun.
Yeah, that was so right. Burnett and I always talk about that being like, that was the trip. That was so, that we were skating the main ramp and then Muska just shows up out of nowhere. Like he wasn't even with us, but then there he is.
Yeah, it was sick. Yeah. I remember, I think we got off the plane or something and I was with Gut and I think Phelps and maybe, no, Gut, P-Stone, and I don't know who else was with us. Quite a few crew, but I remember the train got stuck on the way from the airport. We were at this fucking train station that had nothing for an hour, dying for beers. And then when we got to the city, that I think they were all pissed off at me. I think TNT and Trixie and, yeah, it was TNT, Trixie, Gut, and some crew. And they just got to the city. I think they just like slept by the sand or something that night. Like, I was like, where are you guys staying? They're like, we don't fucking know. Get us a place to stay. And I'm like, dude, you guys are fucking on your own talking to me like that, motherfuckers.
Oh, man. You took us to that one kind of a hidden bar. It was really cool. It was like in an alleyway a little bit or something. And you remember that?
Not so hidden. Stolly's bar. It's not so hidden. The Stolly's bar.
Is that what it is? It's not hidden. It's
actually like right in the main center. But
oh, really? It felt like we went down like some crazy streets and came around and it was right in like some cul-de-sac.
Yeah, always. That's kind of my bar. I'm actually moving close to the center, so I might have an occasional aperitif there at some point.
Right. Talk about the Skate Rock trip, though. I actually wasn't on that one, but you kind of hosted and set it up, right? Australia?
Yeah, and paid for most of it and all the fucking damage.
There was damage?
That was the craziest. It was only like 10 days, but it seemed like it was a month of chaos. Yeah, basically, I just like Phelps comes up to me and he's like, someone was getting a pro shoe for America. We're at a bowling alley. And he's like, Skate Rock Australia, what's up? And I was like, I'm not in a band. I don't know. He's like, join Nuge's band, the LS Demons, or whatever those fags are called. Just get in their band. And I was like, hey, guys, can I join the band? And then I think we spent like 1 week and I like just wrote some lyrics for what they already had. And then suddenly it's up to me to organize all these plane tickets. It ended up being, I thought there was like 13 people coming. I think it ended up being 19 people or some shit like that. I had to hire an extra van on the day, like another 50, it was like 315 seaters. I was like, what the fuck? I don't even know who's coming. Like, cause there was like, Phelps turned up with 5 more people than I'd planned, you know, like his squad, the SS squad or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Like Pat Lanta, Gut, Peabody. And I was like, I didn't even know these guys were coming. Like, you got to tell me this shit.
Yeah.
And then like the Bolarama ended and we played, that was my first time ever on stage because basically we rehearsed for LS Demon, rehearsed for a week. And then I had a tour in New Zealand for 2 weeks of Vans trip. And I was just like, I just had recorded
the jam in the garage on like phone, and then I was just had the lyrics in front trying to learn them all like on the tour. But I had Tony there. He's like, just fucking remember the shit, you gotta get on stage. And it was like the first day back after that tour, we're suddenly at Bolarama, and that was the first day on stage. And I don't know, I planned this trip, and it was like to my hometown and shit where there was nobody, but it seemed like every single place we played, someone got knocked out or beat up, or like, it was crazy. And I remember also the night we were at Bolarama after we played, this guy, Chad Ford, that builds all these really shitty parks in Australia, he was like, I had a kind of an argument with him a couple months before, and he came up and he gave me this envelope full of sugar cube acid, like sugar cubes. So I had 30 sugar cube acids for the trip. And we started taking them from the moment we left Sydney to the day that people got on the flight in Melbourne. Damn. So everyone, Lee Ralph is cooked, Phelps is cooked, P-Stone's cooked, Nuge is driving cooked. Like everyone's completely, because you would take one little nibble and you'd be frying on acid. I don't know how we pulled it off. Like, luckily we have Nuge. If you got Nuge, you're fine. But if you got P-Stone and Nuge, you're pretty safe. But I was pretty cooked the whole fucking trip myself. I was like tripping so hard. I remember in Wollongong, I couldn't play one, I couldn't sing one word. I got on the stage and it was a bubble. It was like, and I think the Wollongong locals started throwing beers at us and shit. I think Nuge just got off the stage and just knocked one of them out, and we got chased away. Like, always a chase, you know?
Right.
I think in Melbourne, we like went to some kids' houses. We played with a guy from King Gizzard and the Jesus Lizard, King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. And he's got another band, and we played with them, and then they let us come to their house. I think we ended up burning the furniture, camping out, burning the furniture, you know, it was pretty wild. But that trip was the best. Me and P-Stone once did a night. I think we did mother jokes for 7 consecutive hours, tripping on acid. And then I fell asleep, and I had this half in the tent, half out, and had this like WWF sunburn belt.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Like what? Your mom's so fat, she has to like wear a tire for a belt or
whatever? I don't know. We were coming up with some shit, like stuff that you could never even come up with again. But yeah, it was basically 6 consecutive hours.
Wow. That was one cool thing. I mean, so many cool things about Preston, but that was one thing, is he loved to play those type of games. Like he had so many games.
Yeah. You would never get bored with this guy. Wherever someone started getting bored, he's like, all right, let's set up this. Let's get this. Like, let's get this game going on right.
Yeah, he's the ultimate host. That's so good.
Yeah.
The old car wash. How did you feel when Milton went and kickflipped that thing?
Oh, I loved it. Thank God.
Yeah.
That was 4 different years in a row I went back there.
Yeah.
It was October, Sunday morning, 6 in the morning.
Like, you have to go early, right?
Yeah, 5 in the morning or something. I think it was 4 consecutive years I went back in October, just before I was going back to Australia. It was like the last try, the last of the trip, you know?
Right before you go to the airport.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, actually, one time it was before the Baker Christmas demo. It was like 6 in the morning, and then Baker meeting, and I don't know. Like, Greco tried to find me at the park or something because I had a pin when he was like dressed up in drag. It was stupid kid shit. He was what I was making fun of him, but I was like hoping that he would give me the fire to land the trick into the thing, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, that was a battle. That was a fucking battle. And I tried like one party all night and try it, and then like kind of party, try it, and then have a mellow night, and then fuck it all in, like party, jump off the roof into a pool, go down there and fucking try it. Like, none of it. I could never get the lean forward proper, you know? I'd land on it and slide, I'd land on it. And if I did try to commit forward, I'd just slam on my face because my legs couldn't run down that shit, you know?
Right.
But I was very happy. It couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Yeah.
I love that. God, and he's crazier than I ever was anyway on a skateboard.
Fucking maniac, right?
It's not passing the torch. He's always at it, you know?
Absolutely. Respect. Yeah, and I was stoked he won Scare of the Year because that was the guy that he was the first guy to win Skater of the Year after Jake passed. And he definitely was Jake's type of guy. So it was, it was perfect. That was like, okay, well, like, we got to keep shit. We got to keep fucking stay the course, you know, like, let's not all of a sudden throw some random dudes in there now.
Yeah, no, it's good.
What have you been doing beside, like, outside of skateboarding? You still watch a lot of movies? Like, what do you and your wife do? Or, like, what are you doing?
She's an architect. She's been working from home a lot because of the COVID shit.
The house looks nice.
Yeah, it's a little studio. We're about to move into the center. Huh. She builds buildings with her team, like Google buildings and the courthouse and stuff like that. And I still go out skating with the boys here, you know, like, and watch. Yeah, I watch tons of movies. I got a projector in front of the bed.
Huh. We got a projector too.
Been doing these podcast shows. Been trying to edit. It's hard sometimes to edit. I'm waiting for it to get really, really shitty weather, and then just you can't do anything else, you know.
Yeah, and dark early.
Tours, you know, I go on tours a lot in Europe. Like with all the Vans Europe guys, I'm always on a trip with those guys every like at least once a month.
Who's Fanner holding it down?
Fanman's the boss. Fanman and Max, the Germany team manager, Matt, and he's a filmer. Between them two, you can't go wrong. And then sometimes they left me the reins in Morocco. It was me and Max and Davey. DVL, you know, he runs that shit. He's always got the van ready and camera set up.
Mm.
And then we got the chaos. And the boys, they're pretty good drinkers, and they pretty much know how to take care of themselves, all of them. It's not like, oh, what do we do? What's going on? Everyone's pretty much, they know how to handle their shit.
Are they in their 20s?
As long as the cool is full, they're ready to go.
The cool is full.
As long as Tom's full, they're ready to go. So, yeah, they're all, you know, mid-20s. Good kids.
Great. What was that?
Great squad. It was happy for me to like to come to Europe and get a new squad, you know. I was worried about that.
You been to Australia lately?
No, I mean, can't go with the COVID, so last time was Christmas, yeah, but I usually only go once a year anyway. But not this year. First time I haven't been back actually since the States.
What's the COVID like in France?
Well, they did the quarantine for 3 months, and then they let it off, and now we're back in quarantine again.
Oh, you are? Are people wearing masks and everything?
Everyone wears masks, but now you can. They close all the restaurants and the bars, so you can't.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
I think they're about to do that here.
They got to, man. You guys are like 250,000 deep right now.
It's insane.
You got to shut it down, man. Like, they got to shut it down.
Well, there's so many lunatics that think it's like a conspiracy. Like, so many people think it's fake.
It's killed more than the Vietnam War.
I know. It's
killed more than the Vietnam War, and it's coming up close to the plague right now.
Yeah, I know. Believe me. My fiance was sick for 3 months.
Really? She got it?
Well, that's the thing. They didn't really, like, they tested her, but then they're like, the tests aren't accurate, so we're not sure, but I think she got it. But then it's crazy because I live with her and I didn't get sick. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's just a random, you never know. You never know shit. I mean, I've been like on tour with the boys and been fine, but I wouldn't recommend it going out with like regular fucking people. We're all pretty like used to living in the dirt and germed up most of the time anyway.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I would definitely, we keep our masks on, and now we've got we had our little fun summer, but it's back to reality now. Everyone's stuck inside. No one can go out to fucking restaurants and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Too early, not enough time. It sucks. I don't mind. At least my wife's at home.
Yeah, that's same. Like, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
You watch like Netflix, like any of those like documentary type things?
Like what, The Last Dance? That was sick. Michael Jordan, that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been watching the true crime ones. Odessa was so sick. They stole a submarine. And it's like kind of like Scarface. There's like a gangster dude and they're interviewing him, but it's all real and shit. Huh?
No, I'm going to watch it. I haven't watched that one. I've watched pretty much
Operation Odessa. Look at that one. It's so good.
I will. I'll check it.
You give me something cool to watch. I got all fucking. I'm running out of juice.
You got it. First of all, you got to get this app Stremio. You can watch absolutely anything.
Okay.
Stremio, download that into your computer, and then you can stream. Go into add-ons and add Pirate Bay and all the other shit. You can watch anything you want.
Okay.
And then I don't know what have I liked lately. Fuck. I don't know what, like, series wise or
anything. Yeah, we watched like the
Frank Sinatra documentary. That was sick.
Is that good? Yeah, we haven't watched that yet.
Frank Sinatra is good. The Miles Davis, King of Cool. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I saw that. Was good.
I like all those music documentaries, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Thin Lizzy, supposed to come out like pretty soon.
Peaky Blinders. Did you watch that?
Yeah, that's our favorite.
That's the best one right now. That one's great. And then I don't know. I watch like stupid shit, you know, like a lot of the Marvel comics and Star Trek and shit. But also, I watch a lot of intelligent shit too. But you know, just easy watching shit. You know, there's a lot of weird movies right now. But I don't know. I just try to go through them. Whatever. I've seen so much, so it's hard.
Right. Was there something you wanted to talk about? A bit about the movie, huh?
Oh, Seven Again. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'll just like, I don't know. I'd like to get it out for Christmas, but it depends on, I don't know, my mood. I would say it's a lot easier to edit when you're drunk, I think. I think that was the Peystone special.
Insane. I got to send you, are you taking any contributors or it has to all be filmed by you?
Oh, no, there's so many people's, because also I have like a lot of people's footage that people have sent me on the hard drives of like, I'm just using everything and being like, yo, you're like, I'll hit up every filmer and send them a copy of it and be like, before I do the credits, did you film anything on this? Because there's so much different footage, like, because people would always send me footage like Lewis or like Shane or like the Vulcan videos or like anything from Beagles, like shit. And dude, you never know who's sending footage, like Sue Choi or, and there's always like all the other random dudes, the, you know, the PD videos, the 5 years at the bottom. And like, yeah, those videos were sick. And there's all the filmers from Australia, everywhere. But I'm just basically going to go and try and put as many names together. And just, I want to get it done, but it's hard, you know, motivation, trying to edit these podcasts and the 7 day weekend, the movie, and
well,
blow people away. I'm pretty sure I'm like nervous because I think it's going to be so great that people are going to be like, whoa, this footage is gold, mate.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Well, I'm glad you said it though, because I've had to do two in the last, what, 2 or 3 years. Whereas like Preston died, I had to compile like all his footage. Then Jake died, I had to compile all his footage. That shit is heavy, dude. That's hard. Like watching people talk and remembering moments with those people that are dear to you that are gone, it's not easy to do in big chunks.
I had to do the Shane Cross Let's Live one. That was a fucking nightmare. That was a sad day. I was thinking it was my birthday too. It was terrible.
No way.
But you know, you get over it. And it's good to hear all this love, you know? It gets you through it too.
I think Ewan told me he went out to Europe and did some interview for some, I think they're making like a big documentary about Ali and Shane or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, it's called it's actually for it's Balala, a documentary about Balala. It's called The Scars of Ali Balala. Yeah, I did an interview for that. I think it's a pretty big production. They've been working on it a couple of years, so yeah, I had to do a little interview for that too. So pretty tough talks, you know.
But, ooh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, but I hope it gives hopefully it'll give people some closure, you know. The people that hate Ali or Ali hating himself or like, you know, how people want to know what really went down. It's just like, oh, that's it, you know, but that's his business and his thing. And I hope it helps people out a little bit, you know, in the future.
Yeah. Same. Well, is there some techniques we can fucking use to fucking keep it positive with all this negative shit going on?
I don't know, man. I got fucking lucky, man. I thought life was over when I left the States, and I just like met the right people, met the right woman, and just kept on trucking, man. Wow. And now just fucking try and get on tours, you know, escape from your routine. You don't have to go on tours with your
your companies, just go out with friends and just fucking go out and be a kid, you know, and stop worrying about the big shit.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm about to, we're gonna figure out getting our wedding. I got to figure a wedding out during the fucking pandemic.
Ah, shit. Like Axel just got married in a park with mosk on and shit.
Yeah. When's your wedding?
Huh? Congratulations, by the way. When's your wedding?
Well, that's what, so here's the dilemma. Maybe you can help because you're a veteran of the wedding world. We got a pandemic. So the normal idea would be like, wait till the pandemic's over so you could do it properly. But both of our parents, all of our parents are still alive. And so we're like, we kind of want to do it. No, we don't kind of. We want to do it while they're still alive. So we're like, let's do a small wedding that we can do during pandemic so we can do it while our parents are still alive. And then when the pandemic's over, we could have like a renew your vows, bigger party type thing.
What I would do if I was you is just have whoever's coming to go do a COVID test that takes like 5 minutes and they just put the thing up your nose.
Yeah.
And then go have it in the middle of fucking nowhere and everyone just like get a hotel by somewhere you can camp out and fucking just make sure everyone has a COVID test. You're allowed to have people together if you have everyone has the test.
Huh.
You are allowed to be in a group if everyone's had the test.
Well, the only problem with that is
they're old. They're old.
Yeah, they're old there's people. A lot of people that no matter what aren't gonna go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It sounds like you're stuck in a situation that not even Mr. Uncle Dusty can get you out of there.
God damn it. I need help.
This one's on you, buddy.
Well, fuck, dude. I appreciate you taking the time, man. It's good to fucking see your face and hear your voice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You too.
I hope our paths can cross sooner than late. I don't know what's going to happen, man.
I want to see all my crew from the States. I want them all over in Europe, man. I want to see everybody for sure. Like, I mean, hopefully they're not all too jealous that I skipped out at the right time and I can still travel in Europe, but
damn.
End the breaks.
So you've been out 4 years?
Yeah, I've been here 4 years. Four or five, yeah.
Wow. Perfect timing, man.
Loving it. But I am... Everyone will visit me soon. Everyone keep your head up and wear a mask, I guess, for now.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot. And give me a heads up when any of these things are coming together. I want to check it out.
For sure. And you gotta do your best job at some point, mate.
Yeah,
hopefully it won't take you as long as it's taking me.
Yeah, I just went through all my tapes because I was like, oh, I'll start digitizing all my tapes with my downtime.
Yep.
That shit takes forever. Fuck.
It does, man. Yeah. Like just now I've got it sorted into cities, you know?
Oh.
Like that's, it's going to be like, you know, like Sydney, New York, like, and then like tour life and then like Arizona and then New York. So that's the easiest way for me right now. But I don't know. Maybe we'll do the 7-day weekend Schmitty's movie right after. The Schmitty.
We'll do the one day weekend.
1 year day.
Fuck yeah. Thanks for sharing that clip too. Dude, that really put a smile on my face when you emailed that to me. I think it's the perfect way to start the show. And like, man, yeah, all man. The shit of Jake that people have that I haven't seen, like, I love to just get it sprinkled, not in a huge dose, but like microdose the Felper.
No, I do like that too. And the best thing about going for this old footage is that you can send people like, oh shit, I got this clip. Remember that? That was crazy.
And you know, like, who it'll touch. Like, oh, this guy's going to appreciate this. Like,
yeah. Sharing the wealth, sharing the history wealth for sure.
All right. So, well, what song should we end this on?
What song?
Yeah, we can play a song to take us out of here.
Purple Mountain, All My Happiness Is Gone.
All right.
You got it?
Yep. All right, dude. All right. Thanks so much, man. Hopefully I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Schmitty. Good to talk to you, man. Love
Cheers.
You. Bye.
Friends are warm. warmer than gold when you're old. Keeping them is harder than you might suppose. Lately I tend to make strangers wherever I go. Some of them were once people I was happy to know. Mounting mileage on the dash, double darkness falling fast. I keep stressing, pressing on. Way deep down, some substratum, feels like something really wrong has happened. I confess I'm barely hanging on. All my happiness is gone. All my happiness is gone. It's all gone somewhere beyond. All my happiness is gone. Life at first and goal to go. Me and you and us and them and all those people way back when. All our hardships were just yardsticks then, you know. You know. It's not the purple hills, it's not the silver lakes, it's not the snow cloud shadowed in states. It's not the icy bike chain rain of Portland, Oregon. Nothing's wrong, no one's asking, but the fear so strong it leaves you gasping. No way to last out here like this for long. 'Cause everywhere I go, I know. Everywhere I go, I know. All my happiness is gone. All my happiness is gone. It's all gone somewhere beyond. All my happiness is gone.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at TalkingSchmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at TalkingSchmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.